There's a lot of talk around House Bill 5001, an act concerning absentee voting for all and various other reforms to the administration of elections. This bill would remove most restrictions on who can vote absentee and make several technical and procedural changes to how elections are run in our state. But as you can imagine, some people worry that we will just see more potential election fraud cases like what we have seen allegedly in Bridgeport in recent years. Joining us now to help us understand the bill a little bit more and talk about it is State Rep Matt Blumenthal from Stamford, who is also the House Chair for the Government Administration and Elections Committee. Welcome back, Representative Blumenthal. How are you?
Thank you for having me.
Of course. I mean, first of all, do I have that right in saying that this is going to basically remove most restrictions on who can get an absentee ballot and vote that way?
Yes. So under our current law, Connecticut has one of the most restrictive systems of absentee voting in the country. There are only six reasons you can get an absentee ballot, and they don't really accord with people's lives day to day in the modern era. 36 states and the District of Columbia already have some sort of system of absentee voting for all, otherwise known as no excuse absentee voting. This law would help us move to be the next one.
I didn't realize we were so restrictive. I thought people could basically just get an absentee ballot and say, like, I'm sick and not have to prove medical reasons or anything like that. I thought you could. It's pretty easy to get an absentee ballot, I thought.
Well, it's pretty easy if you have one of the six exceptions, including being outside of town, being sick, having a physical disability, being in the military. But I think you're right that most people don't understand those reasons in detail. And as a result, there's probably some people who are accidentally getting absentee ballots who may not be eligible. And there's for sure many people who would be eligible for an absentee ballot who aren't getting them. Just think about if you suddenly get sick, you know, the day before the election or the day of the election, you're not going to be able to get an absentee ballot that suddenly and return it. And most states have a system where if you are an eligible voter, you can obtain an absentee ballot and vote that way for whatever reason you'd like. And really, in the modern era, that is probably the best way to do it because people are busy. It can be difficult to get to the polls for some folks, and the security measures we have can help verify that everything is done securely and safely. Absentee voting for all is a very long-lived voting technology. There have been vanishingly few issues in states that have it, and it would help us run more secure elections and more accessible elections here in the state of Connecticut.
You know I'm going to push back, Representative Blumenthal, only because Bridgeport is a prime example of how we have a huge issue with absentee ballot fraud. I know we have to keep saying alleged, but I mean, it was caught on camera and to the point that we had to reorder a primary and a general election. So even though I know the people involved in that are still going through their process, a video is a video and you can't, you know, we can't overlook the fact that a judge did say that there was clear fraud and that we had to reorder a primary and a general election in 2023. For the mayoral election. So I push back a little bit on the idea that this would give us more secure elections. I mean, we've proven that that's not entirely the case, right?
Well, I would push back a little bit on your characterization. I think the vast, vast majority of allegations of misconduct in the Bridgeport situation have to do with absentee ballot handling, not necessarily fraud. So it's not like someone's being accused of voting who is not eligible. It's almost all the allegations that are directed at people, mostly political operatives, who improperly handled the ballots under our law, collected them, harvested them, something to that effect. And no excuse absentee voting actually reduces the risk of that sort of misconduct. It's kind of counterintuitive, but when you think about it, it makes sense. First of all, the ballots are distributed widely. One of the things that people who may want to engage in misconduct and absentee balloting these days have to their advantage is that they know that most people don't qualify for an absentee ballot. That means two things. First, there's an advantage to trying to cheat and skirt our rules. Second, it means they're probably not going to get caught because they know that the person that they're trying to handle the absentee ballot for or maybe improperly influence probably won't be absentee voting or voting otherwise. If absentee voting is widely available, They can never know who will actually vote on their own by absentee or in person. And as a result, they're much more likely to caught and there's increased deterrence. There's also less dependency on intermediaries. Voters can handle their own ballots directly. It's more simple. They can simply request them regardless of their own situation. And most of the absentee voting for all systems out there today have great audit trails. So there's systems of tracking that are out there. We already have drop boxes with cameras, and the system's designed to handle volume. So overall, we've kind of been running a controlled experiment against most of the country. And yes, there have been issues in Bridgeport. But when we compare to the rest of the country and see how they have far fewer issues, those states with absentee voting for all, you know, we should be taking a look at our system and saying, well, what makes us different? And what makes us different is that we're more restrictive. And for all the reasons I said, it's actually better to have wider accessibility for absentee ballots. It makes it less likely or less advantageous to try to engage in misconduct with less incentive. There's more chance of getting caught, therefore more deterrence. And we can also install better systems to audit and track ballots as they go through the system.
But do we already have tracking systems for our current absentee balloting in Connecticut? I mean, effective tracking right now without it being absentee for all. Do you think, effective tracking in place?
I think we do have some good tracking systems. We can do more, and that's part of what the bills that we're considering this session would do. We would install even better tracking systems that can follow your ballot literally throughout the entire process of, first of all, coming to you, but also through the mail, if you send it through mail. There are even better systems that we can install as part of these absentee voting for all systems. And that's what we plan to do here in the state. We want you, first of all, to have the opportunity. If you're eligible to vote, you should be able to vote through whatever means is most secure, safe, and convenient for you. And we want you to have a really good idea of where your ballot is through the system, so you have that trust that it's going to get counted. We also want to have systems for absentee ballot curing. So if for whatever reason there's some issue with your absentee ballot, you find out about it and then you can fix it.
I mean, I think what is a little bit worrisome though, Representative Blumenthal, is that if we have tracking or that we need to improve our tracking, quite frankly, I don't think we would have even known what happened in Bridgeport in 2023 if not for video surveillance and if somebody was willing to actually tap the video surveillance cameras, because we had a similar situation happen in 2019 and that basically went nowhere because there was no proof. So I guess my question about tracking is, if we don't already have it in place for controlled absentee ballot, I feel like we're kind of putting the cart before the horse. Like, why wouldn't we make sure that we have that in place and that it's working effectively? Because, again, if we didn't have the video surveillance footage, I don't even know if anything would have come of the 2023 primary mayoral election.
Well, the tracking systems that I'm talking about, we do have. They are effective. And we can always improve them. But, they are effective. They are in effect. So I think one of the key things that we've done since that Bridgeport situation is we have enacted some strong measures to learn from those issues. So first of all, drop boxes all have to be observed via video camera recording. Those video cameras, the recordings have to be publicly accessible. So that's one key protection that we've put in our laws. So every drop box is surveilled, the public gets access. So there's no chance of anything being pushed under the rug. We also have strengthened our system for investigating and prosecuting allegations of elections misconduct. Time and time again, criminologists have shown that the most effective deterrence to crime is swift investigation and, when appropriate, prosecution. And that's why we pass laws that make the time from the potential investigation to prosecution to transfer to the criminal authorities swifter, so that it gets off the desk of State Elections Enforcement Commission, which has only civil authority, and into the criminal authorities' hands, the state's attorney's office, state police, so that they can investigate and prosecute any potential misconduct to the fullest extent they have the resources and expertise to do so. And that deterrence plus that surveillance, I think, is a very effective system to counter what we saw in the Bridgeport situation. And I think, as I said before, another thing we can do to take operatives, individuals, intermediaries out of that process is to do no excuse absentee voting. Allow anyone who is eligible to vote to get an absentee ballot. It increases deterrence. It prevents individuals from getting in the middle of things. And it also enhances the ability of every person to get a ballot.
We're talking to State Representative Matt Blumenthal about House Bill 5001, an act concerning absentee voting for all and various other reforms to the administration of elections. Representative Blumenthal is the House Chair for the Government Administration and Elections Committee. So I also wanted to point out a couple of other things with this bill, Representative Blumenthal. It looks like also the absentee ballot and drop box rules would change, including allowing electronic ballot delivery and return. How would that work?
So there is a provision in there to potentially allow the Secretary of the State to deliver ballots by electronic means. It is limited to folks with a disability, folks who are abroad with the military or overseas, living overseas. I will say, I think it's unlikely that those provisions at this point would pass into law this session. We've faced a significant amount of pushback, and I think that our paper ballot system is one of the best protections we have for our elections. At the end of the day, it's physical evidence of the votes that exist, and there can be no controversy about them. So I think it's unlikely that we'll see that sort of voting come into effect. That being said, we do want to ensure that every person who has the proper identification and registration can vote can obtain an absentee ballot through the online request system. And so we're going to be making some technical changes to try to increase the accessibility of that system.
There's another, I think this is a provision, allowing 17-year-olds who will be 18 by election day to vote early or by absentee ballot. What about that?
That's a separate bill. So, So one of the things that we want to make sure is that that is in the bill, the same bill. But one of the things we want to ensure is that everyone who can vote on election day can actually vote. So, absentee ballots are not counted until election day, just like election day ballots. And so there shouldn't be any difference in terms of who can absentee vote versus who can vote in person, so long as they are going to be eligible to vote on election day. So one of the provisions in the bill, and we didn't receive any negative testimony on it as far as I'm aware, it would allow 17-year-olds who will be 18 and eligible by election day to cast an absentee ballot in that election. They aren't confined to just voting on election day.
But they wouldn't be able to vote in like a primary, right? I mean, they wouldn't be able to vote if they're 17 still during a primary election, but they're 18 by the time you get to election day. They can't vote in the primary, right?
Correct. Exactly right. So
Okay. For
whatever election it is, they would have to be 18 by that date, whether it's a primary election or it's a regular election.
Got it. Okay. I appreciate the clarity on that. Representative Blumenthal, something you had said earlier in this conversation was that we are doing a good job and have quick consequences for people who commit any kind of election fraud, absentee ballot fraud, anything like that. I got to be honest, with the Bridgeport, I feel like it is, and granted, I know COVID plays into this. I know the justice system, I understand that it's a process. I get it. And I'm not, throwing that at the Elections Commission. But I got to be honest, we have people who are city council members, somebody who also, is no longer now, but was for the last 2 years still the vice chair of the Democratic Town Committee in Bridgeport, who is facing dozens of charges for election fraud. And again, I understand innocent until proven guilty, but I am curious, this bill doesn't touch on when we talk about trying to have fair and honest and good elections. I'm wondering why there's really nothing in here, or as far as I know, any bills that have been brought forward about if you are somebody who holds any kind of power, So if you're a city councilor, if you are a, you know, anybody who basically can impact, I would say, the city or town that they're serving for, all the way up to even at the state level, I feel like you should be either temporarily removed, almost like a teacher. If a teacher is accused of sexual assault, they are removed on administrative leave, or they're removed, you know, same thing with a cop. Why don't we do that for people who are facing election fraud or are facing, because to me, that is part of this that I think is a huge issue. I mean, I can understand absentee ballots for all, because, again, I thought it was basically available to anybody. But I do think one of the biggest issues is that we really don't actually have very quick consequences for people who allegedly break the law. And they just kind of get to keep living their lives and making effective changes in their cities and towns. Like, that's currently happening in Bridgeport. We have a city councilor who literally is facing these fraud charges. And we had, like I said, a vice chair for 2 years who got to keep being in these powerful positions, even though they're facing these charges. I think that part is missing. I've noticed that's not in this bill.
Yeah, so one thing, first of all, on the speed of investigation and prosecution, we passed a law in 2023 to speed up that process. One of the things we saw in the 2021 election situation was that it took the State Elections Enforcement Commission a really long time to refer the cases for prosecution to the state's attorney's office. And so there were issues related to COVID and other things, but long story short, the State Elections Enforcement Commission is not equipped to conduct criminal prosecutions or investigations. They don't have criminal investigators. They don't have police. They don't have prosecutors. So in 2023, we passed a law essentially saying, after a pretty brief time period of understanding that there may be probable cause that a crime occurred, you have to transfer it to the criminal authorities so they can actually conduct the prosecution. And that, I think, is why you've seen in the 2023 issue, the prosecutions move much more quickly. So that's one thing. Putting that to the side, with regard to individuals who may hold jobs with either the state or city government or private jobs, there are provisions. They are often regulated by state and local law for if people are accused of a crime, they may be placed on leave or something like that. With elected officials, it's a little more complicated because, you know, people democratically elect their officials, and it could be an attack on that democracy if solely because you were accused of a crime, you could be removed from office. People might be able to manipulate who is in office on that basis and countermand the will of the people.
I think if you have enough proof, like someone caught on camera stuffing a ballot box to the point that a judge had to reorder two elections, you know what I'm saying? Like, I get what you're saying, you know, manipulating that system. But I feel like if you've got some solid proof, I feel like that should be a little, like, there's got to be a middle ground there. I don't know.
Yeah, well, I mean,
couldn't you say the same thing about a cop? Couldn't you say the same thing about a cop or a teacher, Representative Blumenthal? Couldn't you say if you've got a really nasty teacher that you just don't like, they don't grade your kid properly, couldn't a parent make up a story to get that teacher removed? I mean, couldn't you say the same thing about a cop that you got a ticket and you're like, oh, I'm really sick of paying these tickets because I don't like to put, you know, wherever I park. Couldn't you technically do the same thing? And they are removed on leave. You know, they do get removed if they are being investigated for a crime. I mean, the same thing would happen in other sectors. I'm just saying, you know, like that same kind of excuse.
Yeah. And I think in a lot of cases where someone is credibly accused of misconduct and they are elected, they often resign if there is a lot of proof. And that usually is how things work. When they don't, I think that's why it's so important that we have swift investigation. And when necessary prosecution. But I will say, you know, there is a concern. Consider this hypothetical. Say there is a mayor who wants a certain policy to happen in their town. And there are certain city council members who they consider opposed to that policy. What if they somehow manage to have those individuals accused of a crime and just charges filed? It could never be proved that they committed a crime, but if you just get the charges filed under the state law that we're talking about hypothetically, you have them removed. And then suddenly the mayor might be able to manipulate how a policy issue is decided in the city. That is the concern from a philosophical perspective that I think is the response to what you're talking about. I certainly agree with you. I think the average voter, the average individual wants to see accountability. The average voter, the average person wants to see that our elected officials and our people that are in power are complying fully with the law. And I agree that that's the way it should be. And that's why it's so important that there is swift accountability through the official mechanisms when there is an allegation of misconduct. That's why we passed the law we did in 2023 to speed up that process, because we want it to happen quickly. We also want there to be transparency, and we also want there to be deterrence. We want people to understand if they engage in misconduct, it's going to be swiftly investigated, swiftly prosecuted, and there will be accountability where appropriate.
Yeah, Representative Blumenthal, I appreciate you having these conversations, and I don't mean to be combative with you. You know, with all due respect, I think that same kind of scenario you gave with the mayor wanting to pass a policy, I mean, I could say the same thing about parents who want their kids to start in the big game and trying to get a coach removed in order to do it. I mean, I've seen that scenario play out with other sectors. And again, I don't know what kind of protections are put into place, but I think when you're talking about people who can make major decisions politically in your town or city all the way up to the state level, there has to be something. And you know, yes, I'm glad that we passed something to prosecute quicker, but you're still talking 2 to 3 years later. And these are still people who are making decisions in the city of Bridgeport. But I do appreciate having the conversation. I would love to continue having it. We have run out of time today. But for those of you listening, I am going to put the full bill, the context with Representative Blumenthal's podcast, and post it to our website, voiceofct.com. Thank you, Representative Blumenthal. We'll talk soon.